It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to KDNK in a special news broadcast featuring Attorney Joe Salazar. Salazar represents Colorado Rising, an anti-fracking group that's spearheading the effort to get Initiative 97 on the state ballot in November. The measure would increase oil and gas setbacks to 2,500 feet from schools, playgrounds, and other areas. On July 26th, the group went public about how petition-gathering firm Direct Action Partners absconded with boxes full of signed petitions. Joe Salazar spoke with KDNK last week about the missing petitions, Initiative 97, and former Interior Secretary and Attorney Ken Salazar's connection to energy companies. Thank you, Mr. Salazar, for taking the time to speak with me today. Could you start off by explaining exactly what happened to these petitions?
Well, that's a really good question. Last week, it would have been last Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before, the company, Direct Action Partners, a company that my client, Colorado Rising, had a contract with, Direct Action Partners was supposed to engage in petition signature collections for Initiative 97. And they were supposed to do this all the way through until the petitions were submitted by August 6th of 2018. Last Tuesday, DAP informed my client that they could no longer complete the contract. They were looking to terminate the contract on their own. And my client said, fine, if you're going to do that, we need to make sure that you give us all the petitions that you have currently gathered. Make sure you get those to us. And the DAP president, his name is Mike Salvaggio, said, okay, and this is all on a digital recording. He said, okay, I'll give them over to you by Friday or Saturday, which would have been last week. That Wednesday is when my client learned that Mr. Salvaggio had packaged up boxes of the signed petitions, and he took them out of the office. And the reason why we know that is because an employee of DAP walked in on him as he was packaging up the boxes. She then turned around and advised my client that he had taken boxes upon boxes of signed petitions. My clients then immediately went down to the DAP office in downtown Denver, and sure enough, the office had pretty much been cleaned out. There were some things that were left that they were able to gather together for safekeeping. That following Thursday, which would have been last week, they were giving this guy a call saying, where in the world are these petitions? You were supposed to give them back to us. And he said that he had shipped them to Portland. And then that's when I entered the scene. They hired me to get those petitions back, and we were successful. Yesterday at 4:30 in the afternoon, we finally got a hold of them. He had them shipped to a Greyhound bus station, and they were held in a storage area of Greyhound bus station where we picked them up.
Why Portland?
Because that's where he lives, and that's where the business is registered, the Direct Action Partners, that's where it's registered.
Well, I read an article that said that Direct Action Partners wanted money from Colorado Rising and an agreement that what happened with Direct Action Partners would remain secret.
They wanted to extort from my client money and a waiver, waiving Direct Action Partners of all liability, in exchange for the signed petitions, petitions signed by Coloradans. They were trying to hold that as ransom, and my client refused. I contacted the Denver District Attorney's Office, who helped. They didn't file any charges, but they helped by intervening, and we filed an action in Denver District Court yesterday to force them to turn over those documents, and ultimately they relented, and they provided them to us.
They shipped them by Greyhound bus to Denver.
It's the strangest thing. I had no idea that Greyhound actually had some type of shipping services, but that's where we were asked to go, and we were provided a number, apparently some type of tracking number, and sure enough, there they were.
But they weren't in a locker somewhere with a special key. It sounds like a CIA operation.
Just like behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, as you're waiting in line for people who are getting their bus tickets to go to their destination, you're waiting in that line, meeting with the exact same personnel who give out bus tickets, and you walk up there and you're like, I have some boxes that I need to pick up. And so they went in the back. I don't know if it's secured or not. I mean, I imagine that it is somewhat secured, but they went in the back and they had the boxes back there.
How much did Colorado Rising owe DAP?
Absolutely nothing. nothing is owed to DAP. As a matter of fact, my client provided a $75,000 deposit, and that money was supposed to have been used responsibly for the expansion of the petition signature program, and money was supposed to have been used for the final weeks leading up to August 6th. So my client expected around $20,000 back from Direct Action Partners. On the recording, Mike Salvaggio admitted that he had spent all $75,000 and that my client would get nothing back. And he said that he got caught. He got, what were the words that he used? That he had made a mistake. And he said to my client, "I encourage you to sue me. That way it triggers my liability insurance."
That's strange.
Yeah, on the record.
Huh. Why did Colorado Rising hire Direct Action Partners?
Well, you know, at one point they did have a pretty good reputation. People knew about them. Apparently they had met their goals. I will tell you that about a month ago, and this is also in a recording, Mike advised my clients that the oil and gas industry was trying to bribe him by throwing the signature gathering process and making sure that the initiative did not get on the ballot. And he told my clients, you know, I told them to go to hell or whatever the words were that he used. And he said, you know, I'm here for you. And then, you know, a few weeks later is when all this starts to happen.
You mentioned that he told your client that the oil and gas industry was sort of coming after him or contacting him, I should say. Did he
had contacted him and made him an offer.
Made him an offer, like a financial offer?
A financial offer.
To stop collecting signatures.
Not to stop collecting signatures, but to make sure that the initiative did not get on the ballot.
Oh, they just said, we'll give you X amount of money if you make sure that this initiative does not get on November's ballot in Colorado.
That's my understanding from the recording.
So it was left up to Mike's imagination to figure out a way to keep the initiative off the ballot?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to speculate as to what he was thinking or what he thought he was supposed to do in order to, you know, achieve some type of compensation from the oil and gas industry.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Initiative 97.
So Initiative 97 is a 2,500-foot setback, which would require oil and gas operations to be 2,500 feet away from businesses, homes, schools, things of that nature. It is a constitutional amendment to protect the people of the state of Colorado and the environment from this very abusive oil and gas industry. As we've seen that a number of explosions have happened, we've seen earthquakes happen here in the state of Colorado linked to the oil and gas industry. People have died. And so, you know, people are fighting back, and that's what Initiative 97 is about.
The Oil and Gas Task Force, Governor Hickenlooper's Oil and Gas Task Force, came out of a compromise in 2014, which led to the demise of Initiative 88 and three other initiatives aimed at the oil and gas industry. Do you think that could happen again with Initiative 97?
No. The initiative in 2014, that was an effort led by Jared Polis. I don't know what compromise they reach other than the fact that there was going to be this blue ribbon panel that would, you know, come to some kind of compromises and establish new rules. And if I remember correctly, that, you know, this great compromise resulted in the death of the initiative. This Initiative 97 is a citizen-led effort. It's not led by one person. So I highly doubt that there's going to be some grand compromise, particularly under a Hickenlooper administration, that would result in the demise of Initiative 97. People are pressing forward to ensure that it gets on the ballot.
Former Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar told industry executives last week that he believes Initiative 97 is unconstitutional and calls it a regulatory taking.
It's fundamentally, in my view, unconstitutional. And it's a regulatory taking that I don't think anybody wants to buy into. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Your thoughts about this?
I think Ken needs to go back and review his constitutional law. Number one is that there is no absolute constitutional right. So no mineral owner has an absolute right to their property. That has been stated over and over again by both the United States and Colorado Supreme Court for decades. Number two, when Initiative 97 passes, the court will do exactly what the court is supposed to do, which is to harmonize Initiative 97 with other constitutional amendments. I think it's quite preliminary for anyone to say that Initiative 97 is unconstitutional. And I also think that Ken Salazar is wrongheaded in saying that these minimal rights owners, that their rights trump everything else. They don't. There can be regulations on their property rights, just like there are regulations on property rights for pretty much everything else that we see in the state and in the country. So I think that Ken is just barking as a representative of the oil and gas industry, and let's just see what kind of bite they have when it passes.
I've also read that if Initiative 97 passes, 85% of non-federal lands in the state will be off the table in terms of oil and gas leasing. Would that put more pressure on federal lands in terms of lease sales?
No, I don't think it's going to put more pressure on federal lands. I think that the way that it's going to roll out when it passes, number one, is that we have to be careful on not speculating. But number two, I think that what Initiative 97 is focusing on is something that the legislature should have been focusing on, which is the health, safety, and welfare of the public and the environment, as well as property of non-mineral right owners. What we see happening in Broomfield and, with Initiative 301 passing, as well as what we see happening throughout the state, is that people are rising up saying, we're tired of this industry. So I don't want to speculate any further about, what's going to happen when it passes. We'll just have to see.
You're listening to a special broadcast of an interview with Attorney Joe Salazar, who represents anti-fracking group Colorado Rising. Well, getting back to the petitions, Joe Salazar, what do you think Direct Action Partners stood to gain by extorting Colorado Rising?
Well, they didn't gain anything. We didn't sign any agreement that waives them of any type of liability. We got the petitions back. We're going to move forward with a lawsuit against them for a breach of contract. I have no idea what they thought that they were doing, but it sure was bungled quite a bit. And, we righted the ship and preserved the rights of Coloradans to sign petitions and make sure that those petitions are submitted to the Colorado Secretary of State.
Ken Salazar is an attorney for Anadarko, which is, as you know, the energy company that was responsible for a leaky gas line that caused the explosion in Firestone in 2016, I believe. And I've read that Colorado Rising has accused Anadarko of intimidation tactics. What do you know about that?
It was April of 2017. And so what I have heard and what I have seen on video is that the oil and gas industry, through its created organizations, is hiring young individuals to go out into the field for the specific purpose of stalking and harassing petition signature gatherers. I have seen it on videotape as it plays out. And literally, these young people are following the petition signature gatherers from house to house. There is one youth who advises the petition signature gatherer that, I'll stop when you stop collecting the petitions, which I believe is a violation of state law on tampering with the with petitions. And there's a lot of video that has been playing out on social media that supports that these individuals, their main goal is to harass and to stalk.
Well, I'm wondering, when you say organizations, the energy industry's organizations, what organizations are you talking about?
One of them is called Vital for Colorado or Vital Colorado. There's some other organizations. I can't remember the names of them offhand, but they're directly linked to the oil and gas industry.
It seems to me, and maybe I'm asking you too many speculative questions, but it seems to me that Ken Salazar has a vested interest in keeping Initiative 97 off the ballot. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, since the Obama administration, he has been pro-oil and gas. He voted on the rules to exclude or exempt the oil and gas industry, the fracking industry, from, I believe it was either the Clean Air or the Clean Water Act. He has been a friend of theirs for at least probably approaching about a decade at least, and he's now an attorney who represents them. So, absolutely, he has a vested interest in making sure that his client is successful by defeating Initiative 97, and I just hope that as we dig further into this really nefarious conduct, that those roads, those paths don't lead to him.
Well, you mentioned a recording, and this has been mentioned in several articles that I've read about Colorado Rising and Direct Action Partners. You mentioned a recording where the president of Direct Action Partners talked about all of these things. What recording, and how was it recorded?
Well, actually, there's a number of recordings. There's one that took place on Tuesday of last week during a meeting where Direct Action Partners was advising my client that they were no longer going to adhere to the contract. So there was that recording, and then there was a recording of last Thursday where the same individual, Mike Salvaggio, talked to my clients about taking the petitions out of state to Oregon, and then the arguments that ensued there with my client saying, you need to return these right now. So those are the two recordings that we have. And then, of course, there's a third recording where he admits that the oil and gas industry offered to pay him off.
And were these phone or in person?
One was in person. That was last Tuesday's conversation. That was in person. And the one on Thursday was over the phone. The one where the oil and gas industry allegedly offered to pay him off, that took place in person.
Well, it sounds like one of the mysteries here is why the president of Direct Action Partners suddenly pulled out of the contract with Colorado Rising, and whether the oil and gas industry was involved in that.
That is a mystery, but we're going to be digging into it to find out a little bit more. With those damning statements from the president of Direct Action Partners, I think we have a lot of information to go off of.
What's the next step for the petitions?
The next step is to, they're still gathering signatures all across the state in order to not only meet their threshold, but to surpass it. They're just charging ahead. I feel really good about where they're at right now, especially with the return of the petitions that we received yesterday. I'm feeling quite confident that it's going to get onto the ballot.
Well, one last question, Joe Salazar. I'm sorry to keep you so long, but in reference to the returned petitions, did you get all of the petitions back?
Well, we feel confident that we did get all of them back. So let's recall that last Wednesday, when he was in the office, he took just boxes of information. Well, we don't know exactly what he took, but we know he took 7 boxes. What was returned to us yesterday was 7 boxes. And so we can only hope that what he took last Wednesday, that the entirety of what he took was returned to us yesterday.
So it sounds like Colorado Rising didn't know how many signatures had been gathered.
At that point, we had heard it was around 14,000, 15,000, possibly 20,000.
And I guess they'll be counting them to see if they were all returned?
They'll be counting them, right.
Okay. Well, Joe Salazar, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to a special broadcast of an interview with Attorney Joe Salazar, who represents Colorado Rising, an anti-fracking group working to get Initiative 97 on the state ballot in November. The measure would increase oil and gas setbacks to 2,500 feet from schools, playgrounds, and other areas. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.